university life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the amazing woman that we have today. Her name is Emily Ahrens, and guess what? Her business name is the exact same Emily Ahrens as well, which kind of made me smile. And she's such an exciting person to have. Emily, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to dive in today. This is going to be great.
I'm excited to be with you. Before we dive into all the nitty-gritty, incredible things that you're ready to share with us, give us some insight into who you are. What is your origin story? How did you get started?
Well, my business today is helping high-powered CEOs, female entrepreneurs, to grow their business while feeling better. So I really help their businesses run better by helping them feel better. And how I got into that, I have been classically trained as an energy healer. I've been doing energy healing for over 24 years. I started my business when I was 22. I was in college and I was like, I'm going to make this business. I'm going to have a wellness center. I had a few business partners and I had this vision of helping millions of people. And turns out they didn't really have the same vision. They were really wanting to keep it small and local. So there was a little bit of a conflict. So while I was a student, I did win a student business plan competition. And everything I learned in college, I literally applied the day I learned it to, from like running a business to public relations, like communications, team management, like you name it. I was doing it in real time while I was learning. And a few years later, I sold my business to my partners and got out and kind of found myself doing therapy on the side, energy healing, massage therapy, not feeling completely fulfilled, but like just searching for making a bigger impact. And about 9 years ago, I brought my business of healing online and I switched from the model of helping one person at a time to helping thousands of people at the same time. I've had events where I've had over 15,000 people register doing live energy healing for entrepreneurs all over the world and helping them unlock their intuition so they can feel better themselves and feel more lit up and excited to help those people who really need their work. So I have been on this adventure of entrepreneurship most of my life. I've always known from a young age I wanted to do something that would help more people. And I feel like I'm finally at that point where I'm starting to scratch that itch of making a bigger impact in the world. And I absolutely love it.
Emily, there's so much I want to say to that. Number one, I love the word you use. I've been on this adventure. Number two, how courageous to start a business at 22. Because that's our demographic, I want to get into that quickly here. What was that like? How did you make that decision to, with everything else that you were balancing at that young age, start a business?
Well, you know, to be honest, I thought that I was behind. I thought that I was doing everything slowly and backwards. Because when I was in high school, I always knew I wanted to do entrepreneurship. I always knew it. I always wanted to be a healer. And when my friends went off to college, I went to energy healing school. So I thought I was behind, you know, my version of, you know, the starting line was like way ahead of, like they were already miles ahead of me. I had some friends who were already starting to graduate from college when I started my business. So in my mind at that time, I thought I was behind. I thought I was doing it wrong. I was like trying to catch up. And I always felt this feeling like I was wanting to prove myself. You know, I think that there's that energy of comparison that we all kind of have. We all, I mean, of course, social media is around now. It really wasn't 20 years ago as much. And I felt like I needed to prove myself. Like I wanted people to take me seriously, not just as a healer and as a person, but I wanted to be known as a business owner. And I remember in high school, I'm like, in my 5-year high school reunion, I'm going to walk in the door as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. And I actually did. I've never gone to another reunion since, but I always knew I wanted to have that title. And I didn't feel like I was being courageous. I didn't feel like I was doing anything other than trying to catch up. And the odd thing is that I had friends who later told me they looked up to me, that it was like amazing that I could do all this stuff. And I'm making Dean's List. I'm taking 6 classes a semester. I'm running a business. I'm living on my own. Like, I remember when I graduated college, I'm like, no, what? So like, I don't have 90 things to do at any given moment all day, every single day. So it is a bit of a juggling act, but I think it's always been a top priority to be of service to others. And so I found a way to kind of slot in everything I needed to do.
I love that. So when you were juggling everything, knowing that you were attuned to energy, so you had that background of wellness and taking care of yourself, how did you incorporate that into your own life while you were juggling? Was it something you struggled with?
I don't think I struggled so much of taking care of myself as much as just prioritizing what I needed to. And I think, like, no matter how old you are, no matter if you're in school or out of school, we all have to learn how to prioritize. And so we can sometimes get into this loop of overwhelm where it's not that we, like, everything just feels like a priority, and it's not knowing what to do first when you get overwhelmed. And so a lot of times it wasn't my health and my wellness that was taking a second, you know, seat. It was, okay, today is Tuesday. I have this on my schedule, and just kind of zeroing in on what are my priorities today? What do I absolutely have to do? And being able to prioritize it allowed everything else to kind of flow. So I made sure that most of my full-time classes were on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I would be loaded. And I was like, student, I had my little student hat on that day. I'm not going to think about work. I'm not going to think about clients. I'm not going to do anything other than be a student and be fully present in that. And the days that I wasn't being a student, I was a business owner. Then I was doing homework. Then I was doing studying and perhaps having a social life a little bit at a time. And I think the other thing to mention too is I was really struggling more financially than emotionally or spiritually. I feel like financially at that time, I had so much focus on building my business and graduating at the same time. I was investing a lot into myself, and I always felt like I was just kind of like trying to get by, you know, and it was struggling. You know, I struggled a lot at that time. I think during that time, that was one of the hardest times of my life. I think there was a lot going on, and, you know, you're becoming yourself at that age. So I think it's easy to be hard on yourself. And when I look back, you know, it's 20 years ago, I'm almost 43 now. And it's like, I look back, I'm like, I was way too hard on myself. And I think the advice I would give my younger self would be just to, like, slow down and maybe enjoy yourself a little bit more. And maybe I could give myself that advice today too.
I think we all need it. Something you said earlier that resonated for me too was feeling the need to prove yourself. That is such a painful feeling. Let's talk about it.
Well, I think that everybody has some degree of that. Doesn't really matter your background, your life that you grew up in, that we all sort of have that inbuilt. For me, and I've done a lot of inner work at this point in my life, and I think my business is for sure a catalyst to do even more deeper work. I realized that the person I was trying to prove myself to was my parents. And I can say this with, you know, full honesty and transparency, is sometimes we're looking for approval that we're worthy, that we're good enough, that we've done a good job, from people outside of us. And maybe for other people listening, it's not your parents, it's somebody else. Maybe it's a professor, maybe it's a friend, I don't know. But when we start to look outside of ourselves for approval, we really give our power away. And the thing is that nothing that I could ever do would necessarily yield their approval then or even now. And so I stopped really measuring myself against these standards that, first of all, people who were not paying attention or keeping track of any of these things, I was doing it to myself. And recently my husband said, you know what, you could be filling stadiums and it wouldn't matter to them. And I was like, woof, yeah. Yeah, pretty deep.
That's very, very deep. Very deep. So how did you disentangle yourself from feeling the need for approval? I know that's all obviously a lifelong journey, but what's a step someone can take?
I think just taking your power back and realizing I'm innately worthy of goodness. I'm innately worthy of joy, of abundance, that it doesn't take somebody else's approval to make me more worthy. In fact, I only need my own worthiness. I only need my own approval. And sometimes we forget that. So I think that the easiest thing to do is just to say, like, screw it. It doesn't matter what anybody else really thinks of me, you know?
Mm-hmm. As you went through the transition and you eventually sold your business, how did you move on from that? Because I think transitional phases are incredibly hard. When we go to university, that's a transition. And then when we leave university, that's a massive transition too. How did you navigate the transition of selling a business?
It was rough. And I sold my business just after I graduated from college as well. So it was a little bit of like a twofer where I did a study abroad in Spain. I came back, I graduated, and then sold my business, like bump, 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 like right in a row. So when I sold my business, it was really rough. The partners that I had were tough. And I would say, with sparing some of the details, I will just say that it was not at all what I expected in the behavior from people who I used to call partners. For example, I went to see, I had a full schedule of clients one day. We had decided we're going to separate, we're going to go separate ways. But I came in the next day and the doors were locked. I had the key, but they changed the key. They changed the locks on me. And I tried calling to see where people were, what was going on. My client showed up and said, I thought you were one of the owners. It was so humiliating. And I had to hire a lawyer to have them unlock the doors for me. Like, it was so toxic and volatile. So it was basically emotionally so dysregulating and exhausting. And I couldn't believe how it was going down. It could have been so simple. We could have easily parted ways, but it was like they dragged me through the mud on the way out. And at that point, I was like, my lawyer, the amount of money I made on selling my business basically paid my lawyer fees. You know, it sounds like really glamorous. Oh, I sold my business. I didn't make out. You know, I paid my lawyer. And it was really depressing. You know, I second guessed myself. But, you know, the beginning of the inception of the business, I was the one who had the concept. I was the one who wrote the business plan. When I won that competition, I won a bunch of cash and I bought us Constant Contact. They all thought we should use Gmail. And I'm like, this is a professional organization. Like, we can't send messages on Gmail. And so I always recognized that I was the visionary there. But I also didn't feel like they treated me fairly. And I was younger. I was the youngest by about a decade. So I was taken advantage of. And I just felt like at that point, I'm not going to go into partnership again. I don't feel safe. It feels uncomfortable. And I took that period of time to start seeing clients out of a private office. I had a spare room in my apartment for a little while, and then I moved into a private office. And I just started to kind of like neutralize and just kind of reset my equilibrium, reset my nervous system, and get back to just focusing on helping other people for a while. And I did that for a period of time until I was starting to feel that itch of, like, I really want to make more money. And I started to do healing on the side, and I worked for a corporate bank. And I made a ton of money, and they wanted me to go into sales on the trading floor. It was like this very big, exciting job, fast paced. And I was doing massage and healing on the side. And at a certain point, it was a few years later, I'm like, you know what? I really want to get back to my roots. And so I've had a lot of transitions where ultimately it's coming back into me, back into my heart, back into what matters most to me, back into what's calling me, what's pulling me forward. So whether it's a transition graduating from college, changing your jobs, selling your business, ending a relationship. Like, there's always that deeper calling. There's a place inside of you that has that truth. And so it's a matter of just listening to that instead of asking 50 people what their opinion is on the matter, but really listening to yourself, because ultimately you're your best guide.
100%. I'm very interested in young entrepreneurship. So my first successful business was when I was 16. And there's something so interesting that happens when you're a young entrepreneur. Oftentimes you have to be the first person willing to bet on yourself. And what you said about your partners being significantly older, that resonated for me. There have been so many instances, experiences, or times where people thought maybe I didn't have value in the same way that someone who is more established did. And that certainly can lead to a lot of diverse, interesting feelings. Young entrepreneurs are built very different. I know there's so many people who listen to this show who either have businesses of various degrees or have that desire or that passion to do it. What would you say to one of those people?
You know what? I think sometimes being underestimated is great. Go ahead, underestimate me. Look at me, think I'm too young and I'm dumb and I don't know what I'm doing. But sometimes younger people can be more innovative and be more nimble and have more space and adaptability. And so I would say for anybody who's a young entrepreneur, just to keep following that, because the thing is about us as entrepreneurs, we are built to imagine and to see things that nobody else can. And it is only natural that people aren't going to get it, that they're going to say, that's not a good idea, it's not safe, it's not reliable, or whatever it is that they've been programmed to believe. But if you have this calling, and if you're 16 starting a media company, I'm 22 starting a wellness business, like, if you have that calling, I think that it's worth it to be supportive of those kinds of people in your life. Because you know what? We all, and I'm sure you felt it too, we all have our own inner self-doubt. Like, oh my gosh, is this going to work? I don't know. And when everybody around you doesn't support you, it makes it extra hard. And I have to say this, it doesn't matter if you have a support system that believes in you or around you, you have people who don't believe you. It all comes down to you, whether you believe you can do it. Because when I transitioned my business from a brick and mortar into the online space, my husband at the time was like, no, that's not going to work. I don't think people are going to believe you. It's crazy. It's blah, blah, blah. And I would be doing like a live meditation in front of hundreds of people, and he'd walk in and flat out interrupt me. And it was like, oh my gosh. Like, I would have to like keep my cool until after I was done. I was like, what was going on? Why are you doing that? And I've had students of mine whose husbands, family believe in them wholeheartedly, but they can't get themselves across the starting line because they don't believe in themselves enough. So whether you're in the camp that has the support or you're in the camp that doesn't have the support, it still comes back down to you, whether you believe in yourself. And I don't think you have to have people who believe in you, but I think it's important that you surround yourself with people who see what you see, that they can be your cheerleaders. They can be like, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds awesome. And I love that for you. And they're just like, cool. I love it. You know, I think at this point in my life, I've cultivated relationships with close friends, even past clients who've become friends, who get it, who are in the trenches too, because that's literally what we're designed to do, is to have these ideas. And we can speak creatively, like, here's this idea that I have. Here's this concept. What do you think about it? And we invite them to poke holes in it. We invite the, you know, objections, because then it helps us to grow and to evolve and to go, all right, so I didn't see from that angle. Now I can adapt it because I'm talking to somebody who's at the level playing field as me. And the worst thing that we can do as visionaries is to take advice from people who aren't. And I can tell you, I had a point when I was starting to really up level. I 10x'd my business the first year I brought it into online business. And that year my mom was like, you know what, I think you should stop doing this thing and slow down because you should really be stayed home with your kid. And I was like, when, in what world? Like, first of all, you weren't a stay-at-home mom, and I've never said I want to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I don't even know where this is coming from. And she told me to stop. And I was like, I showed her my QuickBooks. I go, it's actually working. I want to show you. I'm making money every single month. exponentially more every single month. And I'm really about to like rip it apart. Like I'm so excited. It's going so well. And by that fall, I took the entire month of November off because I had made so much money that I was able to take a total break for the month and take my family to Disneyland and like have a nice vacation. And you know what she said to me then was, you can't stop. If you've made all this money and you're doing so well, you can't be taking this time off. And I'm like, you know what? If I had listened to your advice and in the spring, I wouldn't be here today. So thank you for your advice, but no thank you. And that's the thing is we have to really be cautious of who we're asking for that kind of feedback. Because if they've never walked the walk, they're not going to be able to give you really sound advice. They'll be able to give you advice from their place of, you know, a 9-to-5 job of safety and security, not from a place of where you're at. So
that is an incredible story.
Thanks.
it's just amazing. And I've certainly experienced similar things in my life where sometimes as a visionary, you simply are built different and there's nothing right about it and there's nothing wrong about it. But the people that you choose to share those ideas with, you do have to be cautious and careful. Otherwise, you can get your wings clipped.
Yeah, for sure. We have to be cautious of who we're asking to give us feedback. It could really slow us down or take the wind out of our sails, depending on who we're talking to.
Emily, there's a question that I ask all of my guests that I'm so delighted to ask you. If you were going to give 3 pieces of advice to university age students, what would those 3 pieces of advice be?
Well, I would say when you're in school, you're constantly juggling, making decisions. So you're having to get clear so that when you are, whether you're making a decision about your major, about your career, about relationships, it's good to be able to kind of clear the decks and get an answer from your heart. So I would say number one is to be able to find what that is for you. So for me, I know I get clarity when I go out for a walk. So if I'm going out for a walk in nature, especially, it gives me a chance to kind of get all that buzzy clutter out of my head and kind of tune me back into my voice so I can get real clarity. The second thing I would do is notice how you handle stress or burnout. If you are getting close to that point, know when to pump the brakes and really, really be able to stop yourself. I know for me, especially when I was in school, like I said, I had a full class load. I was running a business. There was so much going on and I wouldn't stop until I was forced to stop because your body is going to energetically pump the brakes for you if you don't listen. So you're going to come down with a cold, you're going to get a flu, you're going to get something because your body has been silently kind of like rebelling, like, please stop, slow down. Your stress level gets high. You're like, I'll just have more coffee. But really, I would say learn that burnout symptom before it knocks you out. It saves you a lot of time because really being a student is like a pressure chamber. And if there's so much going on with you, with school, and then gosh, life kind of throws itself at you too. If you're not careful with your energy, it will just take you out. So read the warning signs as they come. And I would say the third one would be around finding your purpose. And I think the same goes what I shared my story is like, I keep coming back to what pulls me, what drives me. And I know it can be really confusing when you're in school and you have a lot of different opinions coming at you. What's going to be the most profitable career? What's going to be right for you? What's hot? But really, none of that matters if you're not aligned to it. And I cannot even tell you how many friends I had. Again, I thought I was behind when I was starting the race, but so many of my friends who had, you know, these incredible majors so I thought, they end up changing their career paths after they graduated and they spent all those years and hundreds of thousands of dollars on a major that they ultimately didn't end up really using. So if you're in marine biology, but your heart is really going towards a different direction, I would say it's not too late to just pump the brakes and listen to your calling, like what is coming up for you and that will never lead you astray. I believe it's like that internal GPS, you know, if you're trying to get from point A to point B and there's detours and roads are closed, it will always guide you to where you need to go. So learning how to tune into that is really important.
You know, I'm so guilty of your second point so many times in my life. I love all 3, but I'm very, have been very guilty of that one. As we wrap up here, is there a quote or a mantra or a song or something that you live your life by you want to share with us?
You know what? For the majority of this year, I've had a post-it on my laptop that says, "Today is your day." And it's so simple, but it really reminds me, like, you know what? It doesn't matter if I didn't have good sleep, if I'm not feeling great, or, you know, whatever's happening in my life. If today is my day, how can I use it to the best? Like, how can I show up 100% authentically? How can I give my best to the world? So I think it's so simple, but today is my day is a mantra that I really enjoy.
I love it. Okay, if someone listened to you, they're inspired by you, they want to watch your content, learn more, where do they go?
They can go to my website, emilyarons.com, and I have been posting about 2 to 3 times a week on my YouTube channel. I've been really geeking out about YouTube. So you can find that there. I also have a free app where people can listen to meditations and get a weekly forecast. So all of those things are found easily on my website. You can just search around and go on the journey that is most, you know, appropriate for you.
Emily, thank you so much for being here. I've had so much fun with you.
Thank you. Me too. It's been fun.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.